वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव पतितानां पावनेभ्यो श्री श्री वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नन्दकोटि वैष्णव हरे कृष्ण I just wanted to mention that since it's Veterans Day today, I want to give a shout out to the greatest veterans of our time, of all time, Sri Bhishma Dev. So it's Bhishma Panchaka. He's lying on the bed of arrows. He's fasting these last 5 days. And all the great personalities from all over the universe actually are coming to see him. The Pandavas are there, all the great rishis are there, even Sukadev Goswami is there. The great kings are assembled to see his glorious passing, and Sri Krishna is there. And it is so unique that Sri Krishna is actually present. And who do we remember? Some other pastime. I mean, I don't really know very many pastimes in Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Lord is personally present to see the passing. Who?
Yes,
Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually comes and he's asking him, "My dear Haridas Thakur, what's happening?" And Haridas Thakur is just laying there, and Mahaprabhu stays till Haridas Thakur leaves, and he picks his body up, and he's singing and dancing. What a glorious, glorious way to leave this world! And so here Krishna is there, and Krishna actually, even though Bhishma Dev is on the other side. You can see how much devotion Bhishma Dev has that Krishna broke his own promise and fulfilled the vow of Bhishma Dev by taking up his wheel as a weapon. So, and he's, till his last moment, he's instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj till his last breath. And who do we think of when we think of that? Who's instructing till their last breath he's instructing? Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. He was speaking on the his ecstasies on the Bhagavatam till his last moment. So glorious, Srila Prabhupada's passing as well. So I wanted to just read two powerful prayers of Bhishma Dev at this last moment as he is departing from this planet, from this world. And Krishna is standing before him and he is seeing Krishna as in his very chivalrous mood. He's seeing Krishna. So Bhishma Dev, I felt very inspired to say these prayers because they can be very inspiring for us. As we know, any moment we can leave. So we can just think of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev says, this verse, this canto, chapter 9, verse 32, Bhishma Dev says, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him, only the material world is created." And the next verse is verse 39, from chapter 9. He says, "At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death." Bhishma Dev ki jai, Bhishma Panchaka ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo. So we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 11. Vadanti tat tatva vidas. Vadanti tat tatva vidas.
Vadanti tat tatva vidas.
Tatvam vaj jnanam advayam.
Tatvam
vaj jnanam advayam.
Tatvam vaj jnanam advayam.
Brahmeti Paramatmeti.
Brahmeti Paramatmeti.
Brahmeti Paramatmeti.
Brahmeti Paramatmeti.
Bhagavan iti shabdyate.
Bhagavan iti shabdyate.
Bhagavan iti shabdyate.
Bhagavan iti shabdyate.
Vadanti tat tat pavidas. Tattvam yajnanam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti.
Brahmeti paramatmeti.
Bhagavan iti shabdyate. Please chant.
Vadanti tat tat pavidas.
Vadanti tat tat pavidas. Padanti tatapavidas. Tatvamajnanamadvayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti. Bhagavan iti sabhyate. Padanti tatapavidas. Padanti tatapavidas. Tatvamyajnanamadvayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti. Bhagavan iti shabdyate. Padanti tatapavidas. Tatvamyajnanamadvayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti. Bhagavan iti sabdyate. Vadanti tatapavidas. Tatvamyajnanamadvayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti. Bhagavan iti sabdyate. Vadanti,
vadanti,
desi,
desi,
tat,
tat,
that,
that,
tatvavidaha,
tatvavidaha,
the learned souls, tatvam,
the
absolute truth,
truth.
Yat,
which,
jnanam,
knowledge,
advayam,
non-dual,
Brahma iti,
known as Brahman.
Paramatma iti.
Known as Paramatma.
Bhagavan iti.
Known as Bhagavan.
Shabdyate.
It's so sounded.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. So this is actually a very, very, very oft-quoted verse by Srila Prabhupada. He has spoken on this verse several times and referred to it many, many times in his teachings. Purport: the absolute truth is both subject and object, and there is no qualitative difference there. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are qualitatively one and the same. The same substance is realized as impersonal Brahman by the students of the Upanishads, as localized Paramatma by the Hiranyagarbhas or the yogis, and as Bhagavan by the devotees. In other words, Bhagavan, or the personality of Godhead, is the last word of the absolute truth. Paramatma is the partial representation of the personality of Godhead. An impersonal Brahman is the glowing effulgence of the personality of Godhead, as the sun rays are to the sun god. Less intelligent students of either of the above schools sometimes argue in favor of their own respective realization, but those who are perfect seers of the absolute truth know well that the above three features of the one absolute truth are different perspectives, views seen from different angles of vision. As it is explained in the first shloka of the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, the supreme truth is self-sufficient, cognizant, and free from the illusion of relativity. In the relative world, the knower is different from the known, but in the absolute truth, both the knower and the known are one and the same thing. In the relative world, the knower is the living spirit or superior energy, whereas the known is inert matter or inferior energy. Therefore, there is a duality of inferior and superior energy. Whereas in the absolute realm, both the knower and the known are of the same superior energy. There are three kinds of energies of the supreme energetic. There is no difference between the energy and the energetic, but there is a difference of quality of energies. The absolute realm and the living entities are of the same superior energy, but the material world is inferior energy. The living being in contact with the inferior energy is illusioned, thinking he belongs to the inferior energy. Therefore, there is the sense of relativity in the material world. In the absolute, there is no such sense of difference between the knower and the known, and therefore everything there is absolute. Haribol. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vinama. Hare Krishna. So, the translation. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. So the Bhagavatam actually recommends that in this human form of life, the only necessity is to inquire about this absolute truth, which is Advayam, or it is non-dual. And as we hear that it is, Prabhupada says in the purport, that different angles of vision, different people will realize the same absolute truth in different ways. And that he also says in the purport that people who are less intelligent, they kind of argue over, oh, this is superior, or that is more superior. But, so those who are like mental speculators or who want to approach this absolute truth by exercising their senses, they are the ones who realize Brahman. And then the mystic yogis or the Hiranyagarbhas, as Srila Prabhupada has called them, they come to the Paramatma realization. And when we engage in devotional service, we realize Krishna as he is, Shyam Sundar. But there is no difference between these three terms, and the goal of all our practices is to come to the point of realizing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what we say, Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam. And and Prabhupada also points out in the purport that the Brahman realization and the Paramatma realization is actually partial realization of the Absolute Truth. And Krishna actually says in the Bhagavad Gita in 14:27, he says that the impersonal Brahman is resting on me. Just like the sunshine. You know, Srila Prabhupada gives this analogy several times about sunshine, sun globe, and sun god. So like Krishna mentions in chapter 4 of the Bhagavad Gita that I instructed this imperishable science of bhakti yoga. Actually, Prabhupada points out in other places when he's giving class on this verse about bhakti yoga being imperishable. It never perishes. So even if we make a small little endeavor on this path, it stays with us. So Krishna instructed this science to Vivashvan, who is the sun god at the present moment. He's still a predominating deity of the sun globe. So if someone sees the sunshine they cannot say that, you know, I've seen everything, because sunshine is just light emanating from the sun globe. And we know that if there is so much light coming out, there has to be a lot of light on the sun globe itself. And the persons who are living there, as we know from the scriptures, that people who live on the sun globe, they are actually made of fire. They can live in such a hot place. So everything is glowing there. So from far away, we might say that the sun is glowing, the sun globe is glowing, everything is one. But there is a difference, that there is a sunshine, and when we come closer, we see that there is a sun globe. And then when we inquire farther, there is the person who is predominating deity, and currently it is Vivaswan. So Prabhupada, in one of his classes, he says this, I'm just going to quote, he said, sunshine is all very embracing, widely spread all over the universe, but sunshine is resting on the sun globe. We see the sun globe localized, it's floating in one corner of this universal sky, but the sunshine is covering the whole universe. That does not mean the sunshine is more important than the sun globe. So similarly, we cannot say, like Brahmeti Paramatmeti, that Brahman is more important than Paramatma. So the question is, or Paramatma is more important than Bhagavan. So the thing is that we want, so from different people's vision, they see differently, but we understand that when we come to devotional service, we actually, when we realize Krishna, Brahman realization and Paramatma realization come automatically. So I just wanted to ask the devotees here, as you are practicing, as you were introduced to Krishna consciousness, and as you are practicing, has there been a time when you say, ah, Brahman realization, or Paramatma realization? In what way, in your personal interaction with the holy name and personal interaction with Krishna, how do you visualize the Brahman feature of this absolute truth? I'm just putting it out. Yes, Prabhu, Tri Vikram Prabhu.
Brahman feature is the effulgence of the Lord, and from that time I took it as that way, you know. And even though there were so many Mayavadis, but I realized that they don't know the complete truth. Like many Mayavadis think that Brahman is the absolute truth, and you know, all in all.
So and in your sadhana, in your practice, how is there something when you see something and you say, ah, you can actually see Krishna, and then you realize that Krishna's so much, his all-pervading feature you can see as you're more and more coming closer to the realization of Krishna as the Absolute Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, well, in some ways, you know, you see all the mighty creation, everything, you know, as part of Krishna's energy. Right?
Jack?
She's asking personal experience.
I was curious because, you know, as we go along in our life, we see different things, and then we experience the Lord in so many different ways.
I mean, we don't brag about it, but when we serve holy name, japa, we see, experience that we can live very happily in this service for the Lord without, I don't need sense gratification. I'm satisfied. That is a connection of Brahman in a practical. When Prabhupada was in Bombay, there was a flight cancelled for 3 days. Somewhere or other, he could not get out. He says, I'm experiencing Brahmananda, but I want Sevananda. I want service, not stuck in this place for 3 days. So Prabhupada was also, I'm glad he said that, because that's how the Brahmananda is experiencing. We are experiencing Brahmananda every day, whether we are aware or not. And Paramatma realization, right now I can tell you what I hear from Prabhupada, that interdependence, we experience through the interdependence, just like I'm seeing you. How am I seeing you? So the Lord, first He gives the Rajagun for my eyes. The senses is creation of the false ego in contact with the passion. Then seeing perception, to see you as an object, see you as a person, to see that perception is a product of Sattva Guna. And then to keep my eyes open, it's not like I am actually capable of keeping my eyes open. It is super soul who is keeping the eyes. And then Krishna also created this light, electricity right now, to reflect on the object so I could see. And all this, who is conducting all this? That is Prabhupada says super soul. So we are actually experiencing super soul presence every day.
Thank you.
In everything. We just have to be aware, that's all.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, Krishna is unlimited. The other half devotee talk about.
Anybody else would like to share? Oh, Mataji.
I guess in my experience, I would say that the Brahman effluence is like receiving the light of knowledge, not coming to know Krishna personally yet, but receiving a lot of helpful wisdom in your life that allows you to get closer to the source of the effulgence. And then also, if I describe being immersed in light, it's like seeing everything as part and parcel of Krishna, because you're completely surrounded by his effulgence.
Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. As I was driving this morning for Mangalarti, last couple of days, you see the moon, so beautiful. And today it was like such a gorgeous moon. And as soon as I saw the moon, I said, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So Krishna is, you can see, our Krishna says, sun and moon are my eyes. So, Jyotir Saravyam Suman. So every time we see the sun, we see Krishna's glorious effulgence. And as we are chanting, and we, as devotees, when we are chanting and we are thinking of Krishna, like, you know, manifesting in my heart, I don't see the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu form. We are actually visualizing that we want to have Krishna sit in our heart. We want to see Krishna, the Tribhangi Shamsundar form. We want to see him sitting in our heart. So in that way, as a bhakta, or one practicing bhakti yoga, our focus is on the form of Krishna. And when we see the Brahman, glorious form of Brahman, or glorious effulgence of the Lord, we actually see the form of the Lord in all that. And so the purport mentions that Brahman is only partial realization of the Absolute Truth. So elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada says that, like, you know, the Absolute Truth is, as we know, Sat, Chit and Ananda. So Brahman means realization only of the eternity or the Sat portion of the Absolute Truth. And when somebody, when the yogis are going after Paramatma realization, that is Chit, or the knowledge portion of the Absolute Truth. Because Paramatma knows everything, and he's present in everyone's heart, and he knows everyone's activities. So in that sense, Paramatma realization is the Chit potency realization. But Ananda realization, or bliss, is in Krishna realization. And as we know the verse, Ananda Mayobhyasat, Krishna is always in bliss. He is, wherever we see Krishna's pictures, or what we see Krishna's deities, he's like holding the flute, he's playing with his friends, his cowherd friends, the gopis. And so when we approach Krishna through devotional service, we actually automatically understand Brahman and Paramatma. So there is no need of separate endeavor. And so anyone who knows Krishna, so the verse Tatpataha, we know Krishna as he is in our practice. So to elaborate a little on this origin of the Brahman effulgence, we'll go to Brahma Samhita 540, and I'm sure many of you must know this verse. Yasya Prabhava, if you know, you can call it. Takoti Koteshvashesha Vasudadi Vibhuti Bhinnam Tad Brahma Nishkalam Ananta Sesha Bhutam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. The translation is, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. So like Prabhu said, growing Brahman effulgence is the bodily glowing of Krishna, Yasya Prabha, and when Krishna expands his bodily effulgence, then everything is generated. So this material world has also come out of the Brahma Jyoti, or from the rays of the body of Krishna. And that's why Krishna says that the impersonal Brahman is actually situated in me. So in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Krishna says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani na chaham teshu avasthita. So I just wanted to read a little bit from the I wanted to read the translation and a little bit of the purport for this. So Krishna is saying, by me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not perceivable through the gross material senses. It is said, Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyamendriyai Sevan Mukohi Jivado Swayameva Spuratiyada. It's a nectar of devotion. Lord Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, etc. cannot be understood by material senses. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance is he revealed. So I just thought of when proper guidance, when Srila Prabhupada is talking about proper guidance, we know the guidance of the spiritual master. However, we cannot take it for granted that now I have got diksha, now I've got initiation, I'm all good, I'm all set, and I'm good to go for the rest of my, you know, time here. On a daily basis, we need to take the guidance. We need to take guidance from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, because it is so easy to fall into a little trap where we think we are doing very well. As soon as we think we are doing very well, then there is definitely something not right. We have to be forever on our toes, as it says, and continuously take guidance. Listen to a class every day. Read Shastra every day and associate with devotees, because devotees are so merciful. They will tell us, they will share with you their confidential anxieties and stresses, and they can actually even guide you. They will actually, if we are open, they will guide you. They will guide us to the proper. Maybe we are falling off, maybe we are doing this something which is not proper or that. And on a day-to-day basis, that is actually the support which our community actually provides, like extensively. That is our. I always see that the devotees are the star of our community, because that's our opulence in Nyunramanreti. The opulence is the devotees. So we need to. We cannot say that when Prabhupada says only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance, Krishna is revealed. The guidance is on a day-to-day basis, and I feel for myself, so that's why I'm just sharing it. It's for my own purification. I'm sharing so I can keep this in the forefront of my mind. Further, Prabhupada says, in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Hirdaya Hardayeshu Vilokanyanti. One can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within himself and outside himself, if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. Thus, for people in general, he is not visible. Here it is said that although he is all-pervading, present everywhere, he is not conceivable by the material senses. But actually, although we cannot see him, everything is resting in him. This is just making a point that everything is resting on him, and we need to understand that. So, Brahmeti Paramatmeti. If we try to understand this absolute truth by mental speculation, we only go to the impersonal feature. So, just like we're talking about the sunshine, and we come to the light, we can see the sunshine is light. But if we want to study the sun glow, if we want to study who is the predominating deity, that's a different thing. And Prabhupada says that you must have the strength and the process. You need to know the process, how to go to the sun glow. So just as we need that strength and process to go to the sun globe and understand the person who's actually running the whole show, so similarly for our own approaching and going towards the absolute truth, we need that. We need that spiritual strength and we need the guidance. So, what are next is, oh, so one can understand the impersonal Brahman by speculative knowledge, but then you cannot understand Paramatma who is situated in everyone's heart. And this Paramatma feature, actually Prabhupada says, I didn't know about it, that this Paramatma is actually 1/4 expansion of Krishna's personal existence. Paramatma feature is 1/4. And in Bhagavad Gita, he elaborates on this Paramatma feature in 10:42. He says, but what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So like Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying that, the Lord here tells, so he's like he was saying, you know, the Paramatma, how we are connecting with each other because of Paramatma. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord here tells Arjuna that there is no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as super soul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is sustaining them. The Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of His partial representation, the super soul who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees therefore concentrate their minds in Krishna consciousness, in full devotional service, therefore they are always situated in the transcendental position. So as I mentioned in the beginning, the jnanis, they try to understand the Brahman feature. The mystic yogis practice and try to understand the Paramatma feature. And in the Munduka Upanishad, it is said that if you simply understand Krishna, then the Brahman feature and Paramatma feature will be automatically understood. So it's kind of a repetition, but we have to understand that separately, you can understand them separately, but simply by understanding Krishna, everything is understood. So in the, here I want to mention the second analogy which Srila Prabhupada brings up in this regard. Like you see a mountain from far away, as you're, you know, like we, I remember we used to, when I was younger, we used to live in Shimla, which is a, like a mountain, hill town. We used to go on the train, and we used to see lots of mountains as we were going on the train, but from far away, they just seem like there's a lot of clouds on it. You can just see like a haze. And as you come closer, the clouds are dispersed, you see the shape of the mountain. And when you actually go towards the mountain, you see that there is so many animals, there is houses, there are people living there. So, different angles of vision, like it says in the verse. From different angle of vision, everything things appear differently. And so our angle of vision is that we want to see Krishna perfectly. We want to see Krishna not as Nirakar Brahman, not as impersonal, not as just Paramatma. We want to see Krishna as He is. And so just like, you know, there's another analogy which Srila Prabhupada gives, that if you have $1,000,000, all of your $1 problems or $100 problems or $1,000 problems are all solved, because within the $1,000,000 are all the thousands and the 500s and the 100s and the dollar bills. So if you understand Krishna as absolute truth, then the mission of your life is complete. So we are on our way. Tyakta deham punarjanma neti mameti kaunteya. So we will not take birth again. Once we come to this tattva jnana, we try to understand Krishna as He is. And Srila Prabhupada says in one place that if you are in the bodily concept of life, which is no better than cows and asses, gokhara, he says you cannot understand the absolute truth. As long as you are on the bodily platform, we have to get on the transcendental platform to get close and to get closer to the absolute truth. So we have to get to that, and bhakti is that way. We, that vehicle on which we can go and we can actually approach Krishna. So of course, so many troubles are happening to our bodies on a day-to-day basis. We cannot say that I can ignore them, but I can become transcendental to them. So, just like that very famous verse which all the kids learned when they were in Gurukul, Matra Sparsha Sukanteya Shitoshna Sukadukada So winter and summer season are coming, heat and cold is coming, happiness and distress is coming, but I will not get affected by it. That is not being on the bodily concept. We can remain in this world, we can remain and experience, like, you know, we'll say the pure devotee doesn't experience anything, doesn't experience any hardship. Ron Govinda Prabhu's topic about Pandavas, did they experience distress, did they experience suffering? Everything came to them, but because they were, I'm just saying this because my conclusion that they were not affected by it. They were not on the bodily platform, and they were always taking shelter of Krishna. So as aspiring bhaktas, as aspiring devotees, we take shelter of Krishna, we can take shelter of Krishna on a minute by minute, actually moment by moment basis, we can take shelter of Krishna. And that's our success. That will be our success, and that is what will take us back home, back to Godhead. And actually Srila Prabhupada says, I want to just read verbatim what Srila Prabhupada says here. He says, so this is from one of the classes. I liked it so much, I said, I'll just read the whole thing. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. This is from Bhagavad Gita, 1855, almost the end of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna does not say that you can know him by mental exercises or yogic practices. No. By bhakti yoga, you can know. By meditation, they see Krishna. That is real yoga. As it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, the first class yogi is he who always thinks of Krishna within himself. Yogi nam api sarvesham mad gatet antaram atmana. So you are thinking of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. Because the more you practice, immediately with your chanting, the name, the form, the quality, the pastimes, everything will be revealed. As we go on cleansing our dirty heart by chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And as we chant faultlessly, offenselessly, Harinam, Krishna reveals. Seven mukhohi jivado swayam eva spurati adha. By service attitude, if you chant Hare Krishna without any offense, then Krishna will reveal himself. You cannot try to see Krishna by your speculation or yogic practice. If you simply submissively surrendering yourself, chant his holy name. People generally ask, what is the meaning of chanting this Hare Krishna mantra? We explain, you know, chanting of Hare Krishna mantra means immediately, directly associating with Krishna. One has to approach Krishna by yogic practice or mental speculation for many, many births. Bahunam janmanam ante. Then they come to this conclusion. Vasudevam sarvamiti. Here is Krishna. But if you take to this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra without offense, then immediately you contact Krishna. You save so much time. Why should you wait for many, many births? Prabhupada said, why wait? And Mahaprabhu's mercy, he gave us this Maha mantra. Prabhupada's mercy, great mercy. Thank you, Prabhupada, that you brought this mantra to us. And we can immediately contact Krishna. We don't have to wait many, many births. Actually, some devotee was telling me a few days ago that she really is endeavoring that this is her last birth. And so I was just philosophically trying to say to her, you know, birth after birth, I can be anywhere, doesn't matter as long as I'm remembering Krishna. But yes, why not? We can endeavor that, endeavor for that, and make that our goal. And we may be here, there, or farther away, but we keep the goal in our mind, we keep the goal in sight, then definitely Krishna is so merciful, he will bring us closer and closer every day. And this little thing, simple quote from Prabodhananda Saraswati also came into my vision as I was reading about this verse, was that if somehow or other you can draw little attention of Krishna, your life is successful. Little attention of Krishna. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. And a few years ago I actually attended a japa retreat with Sachinanda Swami and Bhurijan Prabhu. And recently I've been listening to the CD of that. And in that, Bhurijan Prabhu says that when you chant a Maha Mantra, you say, Hare Krishna, When you say Krishna, Krishna immediately attract the attention of Krishna. So he said, Krishna says, yes, yes. So we have to be so vigilant when we are chanting, Hare, Hare Radhe, Krishna. Immediately Krishna, where he's looking at you. His attention is on you. He's actually very eager to see this jiva is calling for me. So we need to have a full attention to give to Krishna, because Krishna is giving his attention to us. And if somehow or other we draw a little attention of Krishna, then our life is successful. So yeah, I will end with the translation of 1854 Bhagavad Gita, which I'm sure many pandits here know it. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Asochati Nakangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. But how can it be achieved? That will be explained in tomorrow's verse, so I'll leave it to tomorrow's speaker. Oh, I have another prayer of Bhishma Dev as he's passing, and it's kind of relevant to our verse today, so I'll just say that with your permission. So Bhishma Dev says, this is verse 42. Now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord, Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's hearts, even in the hearts of the mental speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. Jai Hare Krishna. Thank you, devotees, for your kind attention. If you please, if you have any inquiries, any corrections, please share with me. Mother Rangavati. Muni, can you bring the...
Thank you. Thank you, Vrindavan. Excellent class. And thank you for all your veterans' distribution of Prabhupada's books. You've been doing it for so many years. And, you know, when you came on the scene, things really changed in advance. So, all glories to your service.
Thank you, Mother.
I have a question. It may be a little complicated. I don't exactly know how to say it. But in the beginning, one of your points was that devotional service is never, you know, lost under any circumstance. So I was wondering how that works for people in other faiths, Judaism, Catholicism, Buddhism, Islam. Since Paramatma is in the heart witnessing all acts, how does that work for them? Are the good deeds never lost, or are they eradicated by the sinful activities?
Actually, that's an excellent question. And since if they are doing anything in devotion, and I know, and for a fact I know that in Catholicism, there is so much personal worship. They have a personal relationship. I know my children's grandmother, she actually does every morning, she does a mass. She does, like, you know, she's praying. She does twice a day or three times a day. She has this, they're doing the prayers on, so they go to the church, they see the form of the Lord, and they're actually communicating, praying to them directly. So definitely, whatever they are doing, and one word, one name, we know that how many, as we know from Ajamil's pastime, from one name, the Vishnu Dutas are telling the Yamadutas, all of his sinful activities just eradicated when he says one name of the Lord. So when these people, different practicing different faiths, but with their heart, they're actually praying to the Lord. And as we know, Allah is not different than Krishna, not different than Jehovah. So yes, they might be committing sinful acts, but whatever they are saying in terms of saying the name of the Lord or with their firm devotion, whatever they're doing in devotion, like even listening to the holy name, as the as the Harinam party is going by. And they say Krishna, or they say Krishna in vain, or they say Krishna in a negative way. Like, you know, we were at Harinam once in Jacksonville, in the football game. There was somebody who came across on the other side, and he was suddenly started, you know, lambasting the Hare Krishnas. But one of the devotees counted that he said Krishna like 15 times. And he was like yelling out, you know how they do the going to hell business. But he was saying Krishna so many times. So he's definitely getting some positive reinforcement from that. Without this knowledge, Agyata Sukriti. Mother, does that answer your question? Thank you, Mother. Anybody else has any questions or comments? Mother Sukhada, thank you.
I was going to say too, in the 7th chapter, you know, Yesham Tvatam Tam Papam, those are accumulated pious activities in previous lives and in this life, and given up the delusions of duality, they engage in my service. So you can see that all of that helps. Beautiful class. I was wondering, you know, the one verse, and I've thought of this before, where it says, all beings are in me, I'm not in them. I didn't understand that because, like.
That's the next one.
Pardon?
That's the next one. Five. She picked the four and the five.
I know, but wherever it is, it's like. Yeah, I guess I'll explain tomorrow. Is that what you're saying?
The next verse is said that I'm in them, but they are not actually in me. The next verse opposite.
Yeah, I don't understand that, though, because Krishna is, you know, is Paramatma, right? Super soul. He's in them.
But that's why it says. That word he used, Krishna. Behold my mystic opulence. Means it is not exactly, because Paramatma feature, Gopa says, is not a permanent. It's only in the material world. 7.4. In the Parpur Prabhupada, Paramatma is not a permanent. It's not eternal. He used that. So here Krishna is saying, yes, they are there, but not exactly in me, but they are. Mystic way I'm holding.
Because it's in the hearts of all living entities, right? That seems like it's eternal.
But it's inconceivable.
It's,
like
yes.
Said, oh, like Prabhupada said that word.
Like it's the Upanishad verse, right? He walks and he does not walk.
Super soul enters into the atom. And if you look at the morning walk in LA, Prabhupada's lecture, it was very interesting. Prabhupada said in conversation, Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna is in the atom, but he's not alone. And then he said, he's with Srimati Radharani, all the Brajabashis. And I'm thinking, what? In the atom? All the Brajabashis? All the whole? It's inconceivable. That's what I understood from Prabhupada. It's inconceivable.
And actually, Mother Sukhada, continuing from your point, like, you know, all of us, that we are here, that we are practicing devotional service, what is our qualification? That all must, from the pious deeds which we have done in the previous lives, and of course, Srila Prabhupada says, I created your good fortune. Also, all of those things accumulated has brought us that we were able to, it was, Harinam is being shown, being distributed to everybody, hundreds and hundreds of people hear it every day, and few of us take it, and few of us are practicing or chanting it. So yes, so all of those things, Mother Rangavati says, people from all over the planet are, you know, practicing different ways, and then they come to the form, ultimately come to this stage that they can actually practice bhakti. Mother Guru Prasad.
You know, yesterday I had a deeper understanding what association is. Association comes in so many different forms. I'm not usually here on weekends, so I was here chanting, the deities are open, and so many Indian families were coming. And so this one family, actually with three girls, one family, with three friends. So I said, you've been here before? And she said, oh yeah, I came here before, but I'm bringing my friends here. You know, she said, I guess it was rooming together, and then she went away, and she came back. And so she said, I'm bringing my friends to see the deities. So I was saying, you know, like the chant, you read, no, but I like the deities. So I'm just saying, I was just understanding association coming so many different ways, you know. Sometimes you think, I was thinking, like, you can only get association, you know, from people who are very advanced, devotees who are very advanced. But everybody has some type of association to give. And I was so impressed that she brought her friends here to see the deities, and, you know, and they were appreciating. And then I was chanting. I didn't really want to be bothered because it was the only time I did a chanting from the deities, and I was here by myself. And she said, oh, don't you sometimes put something on our head when we come here? Oh, you want a crown? So I thought, well, okay. And then she said, we usually get a little mahaprasada. Okay, Krishna, you're really engaging me. But, you know, it was so nice. So I thought, okay, so I went to the altar. They had some fruit, and I gave it to them. And I put the crown on their heads. And then she said, we'll come again. We'll come again. By her friend's association, she brought them. And of course, I was forced to act because I was trying to get these rounds then. But I was thinking association is so powerful, you know. And I was thinking I was so stingy yesterday. I was, you know, I should have been a little more open. And I promised myself next time I see any, I will just say. And even I've met people on Sankirtan. This one, this is a thing. One time I was out on Sankirtan and it was so hot, I fainted. And I was lying on the grass, and when I recover, I was chanting. I didn't realize. And this boy said, are you saying Hare Krishna? And I said, yeah, you know the Hare Krishna? He said, I went to your temple in North Carolina once. I was in North Carolina. And he said, I can't believe it. You were there chanting Hare Krishna right here. Krishna has come to me. It was so nice. And I thought, Krishna is all over. You just have to be aware. Mm-hmm. You just have to be aware. And of course, I ended up preaching to him, and he was just saying, yeah, I'll come again. You know, so Krishna's all over the place. Association is all over. It's just we have, you know, if we are sincere, Krishna gives us in so many different forms. Yeah.
Thank you, Mother. Appreciate it. Hare Krishna. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
I had a question and a comment. I was thinking, you know, we used to say Aham Brahmasmi, you know, so that we would say we are Brahma. You know, that's one of the things about being a spirit soul, that Aham Brahmasmi. And then Krishna also mentions, I think 13:13, that he says, I'll give you a taste of Brahma. So we kind of understand it by taste. And the comment I was had was, in science, we kind of like have an understanding of molecules, and that molecules are made up of atoms. And that's pretty much where we stop, that everything is basically atoms. There's a darshan like that, of just everything is atoms. So some of the times I understand it as Brahman is the substance. Everything, like we have the substance, everything's made of atoms, but it's not actually made, besides it being made of atoms, it's made of Brahman. That's because it has to be made of Krishna. Where else, what else would it be made of? So that the substance that everything's made of is Brahman. Spiritual world, material world, is the constitutional position of happiness. So that was a comment. And of course, like with Mother Sukhita's question, it had to kind of understand that question from rasa instead of tattva. You know, in other words, everything's Krishna, but his personality you won't be able to derive from it unless you're a devotee. I'm not in the heart of the yogi, but the yogi's, what's he meditating on? He's meditating on God in his heart. So the rasic aspect of it, that it's not me. He doesn't really know me. He knows this much, but he doesn't know me.
So. Right, partial realization. So you're answering your own question, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Muni, can you bring that? Thank you. Hare Krishna, I'm going back to Mother Sukhada's question. I'm not sure if I'm right. Krishna appears in a His plenary expansions, Garbhodakasakya Vishnu, Kshirodakasakya Vishnu. So directly, nobody can realize that. Like, he's there for everybody, but at the same time, he's not there. Like, in his plenary expansion, he's manifesting himself, but the living entities, he doesn't relate with the living entities directly.
He doesn't what?
Relate directly.
Relate.
Relate, yes. Directly with his, the jivas, you know. Like, they don't have that conception that he's relating, but indirectly. That's what I understand also.
Well, from Srila, we understand that the Lord is sitting in our heart, like, you know, there's like a bird, the two birds on a tree. So the super soul is actually, along with the Jivatma, the Paramatma is there, and he is guiding. So he is interacting, but he doesn't like force us. He doesn't force
directly, us. Directly, doesn't relate directly. He's aloof.
He's aloof, but if we take shelter of him, then he immediately turns towards us.
Yeah, that's our relations, but he doesn't interact with them as a Kshara-daka Vishnu and the Jiva soul. He's there guiding us, but he's not relating directly. That's aloof, the material energy.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
And are you? Is there a question or you're commenting?
Just by commenting. But,
okay. Yes, that, like, you know, different angles of vision. So we can see from that angle of vision that the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is there, right? Thank you, Mani.
I'm just trying to find all my verses here, but I just got them all garbled up. But there is the Gita verse where it says all living beings are mine, and blah, 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 that second chapter. And it says directly, all living beings are mine, I'm with them. He is the super soul. As far as Krishna not engaging with us directly, I think that's more our problem than his. I mean, he's just fulfilling our desire. You know, he creates material energy. We don't want to deal with him directly. So, you know, he's quite directly there, the spiritual master, devotees in the heart. I mean, he's quite capable of manifesting himself. Prabhupada said he's right there. You know.
Yes.
But what does that verse mean? I was trying to find it because it sounds like something you should parse a little bit. And in the verse you spoke on, just like you talked about, you know, Paramatma and the different, you know, it's different angles of vision you consider differently. So I think there's more discussion in that one, you know. I mean, I think he's there, but then he's not a man. I don't know. I couldn't find it. Well, you know, Sukadeva's question, what does it mean? Is all beings are me, but I don't dwell in them or something?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not in them.
I'm not in them.
Yes.
Yeah. So what does that? So what does that mean? You know, is he? You know, is he? Well, it's inconceivable to you. That's clear. But it doesn't mean. Well, everything's inconceivable. How did you digest your lunch? That's inconceivable.
But
it's inconceivable. We're not going to. But it doesn't mean that, you know, these things are spoken and there's no scope for applying logic and bhakti. And there's another thing to think, we're going to capture it through our intellect, and then that's all there is to it.
Prabhupada did say Paramatma guides us through intellect. Exact sentence.
Yeah. Okay, if it's so far beyond considering with logic, reason, intelligence, why do they bother speaking it? You know, there's something there to think about and consider. So maybe we've sort of gotten to a point where kind of, you know, like in second grade, I can't figure out calculus. Maybe I have to wait, you know, a while to learn some more, and then it'll be more obvious as I get more realization and experience. And you're the person with that
experience.
But, you
know, this verse is so important.
Very important,
yes.
And Yoko Ono had a Bhagavad Gita, not Prabhupada's. So she actually, I don't know if it's challenging or, anyway, she said, well, what is the difference? I have Bhagavad Gita. She said like that. Prabhupada says, do you understand what is Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavati? And then he quoted this verse, Badanti Tattva Vidas. She said, no. He said, therefore you need to understand my books. It was very profound. This sloka is very important.
Very profound, yes. Yeah. It's very, very important. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.